so many parts of the country. Fonsorado's group estimates as much as 1% of the nation's annual growth rate is lost to crime and corruption.
Tiene que haber un combate a la corrupción.
Fonsorado says the government must fight corruption and impunity, but he says to date, there is not a serious effort to tackle either. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, Mexico City.
And this is Morning Edition from NPR News. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm David Green.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter March wheat 550.5 up 4. May 540.25 down 6.25. Soft March wheat 519 up 5.75. May 502.25 down 5. March corn 380 down 2.25. May 384 down 4.5. July 391.75 down 4. December 407.75 down 4. March beans 974.75 down 11.75. May 978 down 12.5. July 982.25 down 11.75. November 956.5 down 11. March soybean meal 340.70 down 280. March soybean oil 30.75 down a penny. The May is down 35 cents. April live cattle 156.02.5 up 22.5. March feeders 214.50 down 17.5. April lean hog 62, now 61.95 down 35. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, the dollar continues to just explode to the upside. Another big increase this week with it at the top of the range, almost at $100.
Yeah, and we didn't get very good economic data for the dollar either as far as promoting this half percent surge again and the March hitting 100 again this morning. But the trade, I think, continues to look and view that parity with the euro as something that needs to be done now that we've gotten the European Union in the game of quantitative easing. So if that's the case, with the euro at 105, we've still got a 5% decline in the euro likely to come, and with that comes, you know, a 2 to 3% increase in the dollar, and I think that's where the trade is at right now. So between that and the March contract expiration today, especially for corn and beans, and the avian flu starting to gain more traction because it shows bigger numbers as far as spreading, and the type of virus is very serious as far as highly pathogenic. I think you've got a situation where you've got tough sledding in the grains, especially if the wheat sees some end-of-week profit-taking here.
And the wheat did show some encouragement for bulls this week, and one wonders if we're getting any traction off the idea that conditions in the hard red winter wheat belt are not as good as people think they are.
Well, I think we should. I mean, this is something the trade has kind of thrown away the past couple months as far as the potential that we saw for winter kill back when we had no snow cover and very frigid temperatures. The trade, I think, was assuming that we would come out of dormancy, which we have this week, west of me, because I'm still in soft red wheat country here, but an hour west, it's hard red. But the trade was assuming we'd come out of dormancy, the rains would come, and the potential production loss from the winter kill damage would be reversed and completely offset by increased moisture. And unfortunately, we are not seeing that, and the 10-day model maps continue to suggest, at least for Kansas and Nebraska and eastern Colorado, that is not very likely to be seen as far as good precip. And so now I think the trade's going back to the original idea that they probably should have had, and added some more risk premium into the futures market, because if you don't have good rains now when you come out of dormancy, it's kind of a double whammy. Not only do you lose what you could have gotten back from the winter kill, but the green shoots that are coming out are going to have a real tough time doing any good at all for the farmer as well.
Meanwhile, we move on down the tracks with not a whole lot of fundamental to talk about, at least on a micro level, until the end of the month when we get the quarterly grain stock report and planting intentions report. I will say, though, that November beans technically are in uh-oh territory because they've made new lows for the week. And I guess unless we were to see some recovery today, you got to put a big target on maybe that January low.
Yeah, and I think the lead month beans are going to be the key to all this, because lead month has been the major support, because that has been the one where the trade's most uncertain about the return of a Brazilian truck strike. So 971 is last week's low in the weekly bean chart. That's a big, big number with this week's, or today's low, in fact, 974 3/4. And I think one of the reasons why we've had a little bit more guts by the seller and by the bear and him jumping in has been the avian flu. It's a highly pathogenic, which means, in technical scientific terms, I think this is important at this stage, Dave, because a lot of information is being thrown out there that doesn't really make sense. But in scientific terms, it's extremely infectious. It's systemic as far as viral disease, and that means it has high mortality. So the trade, as far as I can see, since I've returned from the road trip, it doesn't look like they understand that, because they've been pounding on the hogs, taking the hogs down to major support of $61 with the idea that a lot of poultry that's not going to be able to get exported because of more barriers put up by foreign countries because of this flu and this disease is going to backwash into the domestic hog or domestic meat supply and affect the hog trade and have a lot more competition for pork versus buying some cheaper poultry. That doesn't make sense with the science of this H5N2 highly pathogenic disease. It's a high mortality disease, and that really creams your soy meal demand and creams your corn demand if it, in fact, starts to spread even more. And many more scientists are coming out at the end of this week suggesting that that is possible, that we will see it spread. It's almost hard not to, because the wild birds and the geese especially are moving from south to north, and they're probably going to be carrying this from south to north as they migrate back up towards us and up towards the Dakotas as well. So I think this is probably something the trade's starting to get a hold of, and I would expect the hog market to really find some support if this science comes through.
It's one thing for this strain of bird flu to be found in Minnesota. That's bad enough. It's another to be found in Arkansas, which is way closer to the epicenter of all things poultry. So it needs close monitoring, I think, going forward. Looking at the corn chart, we had a death cross today, this week, in the May corn. How much do we believe it?
I think you really got to trust the charts right now, Dave. I would also throw out at you that the spread between the March and May, because we are seeing expiration in March today, the March and May carry is about 6-7 cents. It's starting to narrow as we talk. It's down to about 4 cents now. But coming into this morning, it was 6-7 cents. So when March goes off the board, for whether you're talking corn or beans, it's pretty hard for the May contracts, which will assume lead month, to go up. They probably need to go down and close that gap between the two. So I think technically speaking, you go through the 971 level in beans, that will help drag the corn down, because I'm not looking for a lot of help here from the wheat, expecting maybe some end-of-the-week profit-taking. Now, next week, the technicals become even more important on some of the key index charts, some of the grain and agriculture commodity index charts. Next week's going to be a big week. So how we trade here this week will bother me, but next week will be a big, big week for me technically.
Given that not a lot of anhydrous and other kinds of fertilizers and whatnot went on in the fall, producers have a lot of flexibility yet this spring to decide their mix. How much will traders believe the end of the month report?
I think they'll believe the end of the month report when it comes to the acreage number, mostly. But I will also say, and I think you bring up a huge point, that I probably could not have told you this had I not been on the road for the last 3 or 4 days and talk to producers before and after meetings. A lot more producers came up to me this year than maybe in the last 5 or 7 that have told me that they booked both types of seed, both corn and beans, ready to put those flux acres into either one, and then, you know, push those unused seed sales at the purchases back to the dealers. And so I think that has a big bearing on the market as we get into the weather and as we get into the April time period, as far as whether we can get some groundwork before we want to plant. So the March acreage report will be important to the trade, but there is a lot to be said about what April is going to bring us as far as swinging acres back and forth because of Mother Nature.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzalo, Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. May corn, 383 and a quarter, down 5 1/4. July, 391, down 4 3/4. December, 407 and a quarter, down 4 1/2. May beans, 975 3/4, down 14 3/4. November, 954 1/2, down 13. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.